Welcome to the most electrifying show, where we discuss all topics related to high voltage. Let's go! What's going on, Paul? How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Oh, I'm wonderful. Welcome back.
Yep.
So glad you decided to help me out and join us. And
I've enjoyed it.
Educate our listeners here.
Yes.
I hope everybody out there is doing good. Hopefully last week y'all learned a few things with the live line bear hand that Joey gave us.
Yep. And a lot of good information there with that.
Yeah. And again, I could ask him probably 100 more questions. Okay. And I'm sure some listeners are going to email in some comments or questions with that as well. So we'll tackle those at a later date when they come in.
We could probably do 2 or 3, 4 months just to absolutely live bare hand.
Absolutely. Yep. So next week, again, Joey's coming back to do grounding.
Yes.
Yep. And I'm sure that's going to be a good one.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure he'll have a lot of information in that as well.
Yeah, that's another one that can get deep.
Yes.
So really the main thing today, one, Paul, I'm going to put you on the spot.
Uh-oh.
I know. I'm going to put you on the spot. Well, first off, basically today we're doing a bunch of listener-submitted questions or comments, right? But before we get into that, I felt like our first episode was a quickie with Easter.
Yes.
So we kind of keep that short and minimal. Again, numbers tend to dry up on holiday weeks.
A lot of stuff going on.
And then last week, we were focusing on Joey as the guest.
Yeah.
So I really haven't properly introduced you. Okay. And that's on me as being the bad host. Yeah. So, with that said, if you don't mind, man, I'm going to put you on the spot. Can you give us a quick synopsis? Again, I know you worked for a co-op. I know you worked for an investor-owned utility. And I know you did distribution. How long were you in distribution? What can you share with us as far as time, knowledge, things you've seen?
Well, I started out in transmission line and did a little bit of transmission line construction and maintenance, and then moved over to distribution line and did distribution line maintenance, construction, and then as well as a lot of underground with the co-op. And so we had a lot of all three going on. And then, as I said earlier, kind of got out of that for a little while and was doing something else, come back to the industry and went more management role type stuff with the execution and some oversight of construction management, So over that spans close to 20 years of all of those combined. And then now I'm more in a role of development where, I've always kind of been on the execution end of it. Well, now I'm on the polar opposite. I'm in the development, which I actually enjoy.
Yeah.
I miss the execution because there's always that sense of pride, where you go out and you build something and you step back and look at it. You run that two-span single phase down to a customer's new home and hook the meter up and, they're jumping up and down.
Right. Yeah.
They're happy and all that. So, I do miss that, but I can tell you at this point in my life, the development and less physical work is much better for my body.
Right.
So I enjoy that. And so, it's kind of a different world, but yet the same principles apply.
Right.
And instead of going out and actually executing it or building it, I have a lot of input in how we're going to build this or what we need to build for the betterment of, bottom line, the customer.
So,
reliability and stuff like that. So, a little over 20 years altogether, in a few little different disciplines, but,
Well, and I think the key there, one of the reasons, well, one, I owed you the respect of you being able to tell your story. Number two is for the good of the listeners to understand one of the huge advantages of having you help, and even for me, right? You're bringing distribution, you're bringing line, you're bringing underground. So you're going to help well round in an area in which I haven't had any expertise in. And so I think that's going to be the good part. And I know, again, we've talked off air already. Yeah. You've been talking to me about some pad mounts and some underground, work.
Grounding schemes.
The grounding schemes. And even if you start talking underground, now we can talk, loops and feed throughs. There's so much that can go into that.
Yeah.
And so that's really what I want to get at for the listeners is you're going to bring a whole nother complexity, I guess would be the word, and a whole different set of skills and knowledge that I haven't been able to provide on the show before. And so, I think it's going to be great, man.
We're going to hope so anyway.
Yep. It's going to be good. So let's get into some of these questions. This is your first time seeing, how our listeners really communicate with us. So I have a page, you have a page, your page has more. So if you want, you go first.
Yeah.
If you want the ones that you read, you're asking me that question. I'll answer it to the best of my ability. And then you add anything. Yep. And then when I read mine, if you want, I'm basically asking it to you.
Okay.
And then I'll add whatever my opinions are on that answer as well.
Okay. And I want to start out with saying that I think these questions are great. I think this is listener interaction.
Yeah, it's engaging.
It's telling us that they're listening, and maybe we didn't cover something at all. Maybe we didn't cover something as much as someone needed.
Yep.
And so when they're asking, you know, yeah, we can dig into it a little deeper, you know,
absolutely,
to the best of our knowledge. And if we can't, we'll just tell you we can't right now, and we'll have to research and bring it back later, you
that's
know,
right,
or something. So I would like to definitely encourage all the listeners out there, if you have any questions, you know, and, you know, growing up in this industry, it's always been, there are no dumb questions. You
that's
know?
Right.
So if you got questions, I would definitely encourage you to email us, and Jeremy will fill you in with those ways here in a little bit. But the first question I have is from Rob through an email, and he says, why is the STAR, STAR method so important?
All right. So that goes back, geez, man, I ought to have this written down. I believe episode 5 with Izzy from Texas.
Okay.
Obviously way before your time. Season 1, episode 5.
Okay.
Izzy, we did an entire show on STAR. First off, STAR, stop, think, act, review.
Correct. Okay.
Why is it so important? Well, one, it's really, depending on how you use it, it's really likely your last line of defense.
Mm-hmm.
If you fail STAR, the next word you hear is, oh crap.
Yeah.
Right.
Something bad's happened.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's why it's so important. And I guess to briefly run into that STAR, to stop, think, act, review, is that is in your head. If, man, I've done this task, I don't care if it's 5 times, 50 times, 500 times, but when you're in the process of doing that task, something just does not feel right.
Mm-hmm.
Just stop.
Yeah.
I mean, it's that simple, right? Just stop. And then, because when we're, obviously it depends on the task, right? I don't know. Let's just name one. If you're making a connection to a breaker, right? Just a 4-hole NEMA pad,
mm-hmm,
right? A pad to a breaker bushing, and you're doing it and you feel something weird, or you hear a weird noise that you don't typically feel or hear. And don't get me wrong, this is a way far-fetched, I just thought of this scenario, but what if that bushing is broke or cracked that you're torquing?
Yeah.
And that's that feeling of that wiggling you feel.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe that's that weird chattering porcelain sound that you hear, assuming it's porcelain and not a poly, but whatever, right? Or maybe you hear a hissing, and maybe it's the bushing leaking SF6.
Mm-hmm.
But that's really the point of STAR, is if you're recognizing something, you don't know what it is yet, but you're recognizing this ain't right.
That's why you stop.
That's why you stop and you think about it. And that's where also, when you're torquing that bolt, your focus is on how you're applying torque to your torque wrench. You're not stepping back 500 feet and looking at the whole picture,
mm-hmm,
right? You're not even thinking about the other 5 bushings.
Yes.
And that's where you stop and you think and step back. Step back and get the bigger picture. Don't be at a microscopic level.
Yeah.
Step back and look at it, you know, no magnifying glass, and get the big picture and what's going on, you know. I know for me, one time, it wasn't me, but I was at the station, and a guy was working on a transformer, and actually his hydraulic man lift boom started leaking, and it wasn't long before he realized, because we all have worked in man lifts or buckets, and they're springy, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're kind of springy when you step and move, and it's kind of bouncing with you. But it wasn't long before he realized it wasn't moving or flexing, and he looked down and the boom had leaked onto the transformer radiators.
Mm.
He was sitting on the radiators.
Yep.
But that happened over 20 minutes, right? It wasn't like the boom just released and went boom straight down.
Yeah.
It was slow, but and then he's like, wait, why did I park the man lift on the radio? Well, you didn't.
Yeah.
You were about a foot above him, and he wasn't even realizing that over time he was slowly having to reach higher and higher and higher.
Mm-hmm.
I think he was working on the LAs. You know, a lot of times the lightning arresters stick out over the radiators.
Yes.
I think he was working on grounding the LAs, and just over time he was slowly reaching higher and higher to get that grounding connection. And we all got a good laugh out of it. Luckily, it didn't bend the fins or break it. But that thing was leaking down, but it took us a while to figure out, well, how did that happen?
Yeah. I was going to, when you were starting out with the answer,
mm-hmm,
my thought was, you know, this applies to every scenario.
Yeah.
And one of the things that you had started out with the breaker, but, you know, I was even thinking, even, hey, you just got in the bucket, you know, you got your outriggers out, you know, everything's good. You're starting up in the bucket, but something just doesn't feel right. Something's mm-hmm not right. Stop right then. I mean, too many times you don't stop and you create a much bigger problem.
Yes.
To whereas if you just STAR, you can eliminate so much more.
Yep. And I know, I guess to kind of piggyback on that, I hate using those words. Let me echo and piggyback on that. But let me piggyback on that. And I know both me and you, we held the same role for a while and more on the, let's say, management or leadership side, right?
Yep.
And I know you've gone through some of these investigations, and it's easy to Monday morning quarterback, but you're right. There's so many events that we have been a part of and looked at where there was like, okay, there was a red flag, but they kept on.
Yep.
Oh, wait, there's a red flag, but they kept on. And then there was a red flag. And don't get me wrong, guys, I understand that in the heat of the moment, you're just trying to do your job, right? Mm-hmm. And you encounter an issue and you just adapt and overcome. But then when the Monday morning quarterbacking starts and the investigation, they're like, you had 30 red flags mm-hmm. and you couldn't just pause
yep.
at one of those. And it is, it's hard to justify.
Yes.
And I'm torn on that because we as professionals should be able to identify those issues, right? We're professionals at what we do. But also, I also sometimes hate the Monday morning quarterback because it's easy for someone to come out there a week later and tell you everything you could have done.
Yep.
Well, where were you last Wednesday when it happened, though, bub?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, so I'm torn on that.
And it is.
Where we have to have a good relationship with our management and with our field guys.
Yeah.
And understanding, okay, we can nitpick that, but also, I completely understand why you decided to continue because of that red flag.
Yeah.
But when there's 10, 20, 30 that line up, it's like, hold on, man. Hold on, man.
You know, and it goes back to the individual. So when you as an individual see something wrong, smell something wrong, mm-hmm. taste something wrong, that's when it's on you. Okay. Or am I going to stop? Because I'm not worried about what somebody's going to see Monday morning. I'm not worried about what somebody's going to see in an hour right now.
Right.
So that's where I kind of come into, like, you know, hey, you saw it,
mm-hmm.
but you didn't react to it.
That's right.
You know, so because there's some things that you will not see maybe right now, but,
yeah.
you know, somebody else may or whatever. But, you know, it just it's a I fully agree with the method.
Yeah, I do, too.
But there again, if it's utilized properly,
yep.
you know, so stop. Think, act, review.
Yep. And I think in episode 5, I ought to look it up real quick, but I'm 99% certain it was episode 5. But if y'all go back scrolling through it, look for the one with Izzy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in that show, he or I or both of us used an example of switching and like, okay, we opened a breaker, but the ammeters didn't drop.
Mm.
Like, there's your first red flag, right? Like, hey, hold on, let's, did we open the right breaker?
Yeah.
If we open the right breaker, let's go check the mechanical indicator, right? There's so many things that could lead you to the answer. But if you just, you know, cowboy it and hero it and go, ah, that breaker is open. I heard a loud bang outside, yeah. right? That's where, again, one stop and let's assess the situation here.
Yeah.
But anyhow, so yeah, check that out. I'm 99% certain it was episode 5 with Izzy. By the way, I haven't talked to Izzy in a while. Izzy, if you're listening, I hope you're doing good, brother. Plan on reaching out to you here shortly. All right. You ready for me?
Yes.
All right, here I go. The first question, this is from Rob in Pennsylvania on Messenger. What is the craziest animal you have come across on a job? Rob, my answer would be Paul. No, I think I told a story a while back, maybe when an overtime with Jay. The craziest thing I've seen was unbolting a circuit switcher, and the brand and style of circuit switchers we were getting at the time have this metal shroud that protects the porcelain.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a clamshell. And yep. I think you know exactly the ones I'm talking about, right, Paul?
Yep.
We were unbolting that. We unbolt it, you rip that clamshell off, and there was a dang coral snake curled up in that sucker, and he was like 4 inches from your face. You know what I mean? You're not expecting it. But other than that, honestly, again, as a sub guy, not working on right-of-ways, it isn't like I'm walking through swamps every day and encountering rattlesnakes mm-hmm. and you know, cotton mouse or, you know, bad dogs. Like meter readers, R&D guys, I know they encounter dogs. I have a funny story with a peacock I'll tell you one day.
Mm.
I know a meter reader that had a tangle with a peacock.
Oh, yeah.
Are you aware of that one?
I don't know if I
No?
Know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got a good story with a peacock. We won't get into that today. But as far as I go, I would just say the random snake. I think I told a story, I don't remember when, that a wireman in a control house, you know, all of our, you know, we're talking 4 conductor, you know, 12 conductors, stuff like that, right? Mm-hmm. Well, all that, at least the utility that we were working for, was black.
Yeah.
And a wireman's just reaching through the control house, pulling out old conductors. One of them was a black snake.
Really?
And I think he went and changed his britches.
I imagine.
But it was just a regular, like, black racer. Nothing poisonous, nothing that can kill him or anything. Yeah. And actually, when we talked about that, we had like 4 or 5 listeners submit photos of snakes in, like, mm-hmm. control cabinets and all kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And at the time, Blake was like, God, I got something else to worry about now. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
I've never really encountered anything crazy. What about you, man.
I wouldn't say crazy, you know, as far as something that would be just completely out of place. I mean, right. You know, trimways, cable trays, you know, snakes, that's constant, you know, getting into the station house or whatever, mm-hmm. you know. So I guess one of the craziest things, it actually involved a squirrel. And this was back at the co-op. You know, we have regulators, yeah. you know, in the station. And so I got a call and, you know, we had lost the station. And I went over there and, you know, the whole station, the regulator was blowed to pieces.
Yeah.
Just smoked from a squirrel.
Yeah.
You know, one little squirrel had got up on top of that regulator and like sourced the load or whatever.
Right.
He cross-phased it and
that barbecue.
Yeah, he was done.
Yep.
I mean, I had pictures of him for a long time. Yeah. It was very weird. But, you know, that one little squirrel, you know, took the whole station out and yep. just destroyed a regulator. So, but as far as, you know, I've never encountered, you know, anything what I would call
no,
crazy.
No lions or tigers.
No
or
tigers running through the substation. Right. No, so.
Yep. All right, what you got next, man?
There's a question here you'll know more about, but it says, will Jay be involved with future shows about his new role? And that's from Christina on Messenger.
Yes. Yes. I'm proud to report. I actually, man, that's a coincidence. Was it yesterday or maybe 2 days ago? I was actually texting with my man, Jay.
Okay.
And I don't know if you're caught up with all this or not, but my man, Jay, he's done 4 episodes with us. And he's in the battery storage industry, right? The best sites and all that. And he actually switched companies, I don't know, back right around New Year's, Christmas time.
Mm-hmm.
And I was texting with him the other day and I said, hey, I heard you were in town and didn't even come on the podcast let me take you for, I took him for a boat ride on my mud boat.
Mm-hmm.
He ain't never been on nothing like that before. He loved it.
Yep.
He loved it. Yeah. I took him to some hairy stuff too. Oh, yeah. Yeah. We dang near
scared him a little bit.
Yeah. We dang near were like stuck.
Really?
Like calling airboat stuck.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. We were, but you know, you got to push the envelope, Paul.
Oh yeah. Give him his money's worth.
Yeah. But yeah. So Jay told me definitely once he gets some things lined up, he wants to come back and give us some more content and talk to the listeners.
Sounds good.
Yeah, Jay's a good dude. So, yeah, he will be involved in the future. We'll see when that is, right?
So there you go, Christina. He
yep.
will be more involved.
All right. My question is, I'll go to the end first. So, Jimmy from Messenger, have you ever had a job that had an audience? And this is in reference to Christina in season 2, episode 6. She said that she had an audience with working in private land. And so what were I doing? So here's the only time, but that is timely questioning right there, man. So I shared this on one of my episodes with Jay, and I think it was like one of our most embarrassing days. You know, we were talking about embarrassing days mm-hmm. in the industry. The only time I can really think, like the one that stands out, is when I was part of an outage.
Oh, yeah.
And this outage, I don't know if you heard this story or not, Paul, but this outage, and you'll know the substation, was like in the greater Orlando area where like the Channel 2 and Channel 6 and Channel 9 news are fed from. And I dumped that station.
I dumped it.
Wasn't my fault, but I dumped it. I was the idiot holding the handle. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
And at the time, that makes you the at-fault party, right? Yeah. But it turns out it was some relay settings and a few other things, which it took them like a month to clear my name.
Mm-hmm.
That was a month of no sleep.
Yes. But,
yeah, so that was like really the only time I had an audience, because what's amazing is I feel like most of my career, no one had a clue where I was and what I was doing. But magically that day, about 50 people comes pulling in a parking lot at the first sign of a flicker. You know what I mean? Like, what's happening? What's going on? What's up? Hey. So that was probably the biggest time I had an audience. Yeah, I thought it was a pretty funny story because Jay, I fed off of Jay real well and we were, you know, making fun of ourselves, you know, self-deprecating. And
yeah.
I'm like, you know how like when a hurricane or tornado comes through, they always find that barefoot hillbilly in the trailer park? Of all people they could interview.
Yes.
And Jay's like, yeah, so did they have a barefoot? I said, it was me.
Yeah.
It was me. You know what I told him? It was like Joe Dirt meets Tiger King, you know?
You
So how about you? I'm assuming probably more of a distribution.
And that's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Because with the transmission, most time you don't have that. It was planned outages and stuff most of the time. Uh-huh. But, you know, especially in distribution, I've had plenty of audience where, you know, storm come through, car right. versus pole, whatever the case may be. Sometimes it was just, hey, we had to come in and, you know, do some construction work there. So we had to take a tap mm-hmm. out or a part of the line out, you know. And, you know, naturally, no one likes to go out of electricity, right? I don't like for it to go off. But, you know, the nature of the beast, sometimes it just has to. And so, and most of that is for the safety of the working person.
Right.
You know, so a lot of times, especially an outage, you know, you would get those two or three households that would come out and they're sitting over there with, you know, their feet spread apart and their arms crossed on mm-hmm. across their chest. And, you know, they're just looking at you. So that's when you always, and maybe it's okay to say this, but this is when, if you figure that it's going to take you about 30, 45 minutes to get it fixed, mm-hmm. you tell them an hour and a half.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You so build you say, yourself listen, a buffer. You know, just about an hour and a half. We'll have all this taken care of. Well, in 40 minutes, when you're done, they're happy because they thought they were going to be out an hour and a half. And
right.
They're only out 40 minutes. So, yeah, you can definitely draw audiences in that aspect. Some's good. And I've been on the other end where, you know, outages, you're working late. Maybe it's mm-hmm. the middle of the night, you know, and the audience is actually coming out with bottled water or chocolate right. chip cookies or, yep. you know, hey, are you hungry? Or, you know, so there's always a chance of the audience
mm-hmm.
and there's always the differences in the
right, yeah, yeah.
So,
hostile, so,
yeah, some's going to be mad.
I agree.
Some's going to be bringing you lemonade. So,
I agree.
You know, but there again, the biggest thing to do, I think, from a working aspect is you just work every day like you're an audience.
That's it.
Whether they're there or not,
yep.
you work every day the same. And then if you do have the audience or if you don't,
it don't change nothing.
Nothing changes.
That's right.
You're still doing your job the right way, the safe way, the best way.
Yep. I guess the only thing I was thinking while you were talking that I would add to that. Now, this is an entirely different quote unquote audience, but when I had to take my journeyman test.
Oh, yes.
Because you're over there with this utility, you're at their training facility, and there's like two managers, there's like five supervisors.
Exactly.
And then there's like four or five union reps.
Yes.
And they're all just staring at you.
Staring.
And you're doing the task that you've been doing the last 4, 5, 6 years throughout your apprenticeship, but they're all just staring at you, waiting for you to make a mistake.
Yeah.
And when I say that, don't misinterpret what I'm saying. They're not there as your enemy, right? They're not. They're not there as your enemy. They're doing their job.
Exactly.
But at that moment, they were all my enemies, yeah. man. You're either with me or against me, and they was against me. You know what I mean?
You could actually feel that.
Yeah, I felt laser beams burning through my back.
Yeah, absolutely.
And of course, they're questioning everything. Why did you do it that way?
Mm-hmm.
And then that makes me go, well crap.
Yeah, even if you did it right, they're still wanting to know, well, why did you do that?
Yeah, why'd you do that?
Because it's the right way.
I know it.
Okay.
That's the only other time I could think of. But again, that was all still friendly fire,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
We're all part of the same company, same union.
Yep.
But it was an audience, and it had my nerves, actually more than the public did.
Yes.
Because I'm like, hey, I need this raise. I need this journeyman card. Yeah. You know what I mean? All right, brother, it's your turn, I think.
Okay, this is a good one. In a past episode, you talk about thumpers and would like to hear more about that. How does it work? And that's from an email from Jack about thumpers and how they work.
So I know you asked me the question, and I answer first. All right, Jack, I'm going to defer to Paul because Paul, coming from distribution, has used thumpers. He knows what he's talking about. I've only seen the process. I think I have a basic understanding of the process. If you want, I'll try it real quick. So basically, Paul, I would call it more of a high pot coming from substation because you're bumping up to a high voltage, right?
Yes.
And you're going to connect it to those underground cables, and you're looking for the fault. So to find the fault, you're basically causing it to fault. Yeah. So you're going to pulse that voltage. And help me out. Do you even know what it is?
The voltage without the amperage and stuff.
That's correct. Yep.
Yes.
Yep. But do you know, are you pushing 20 kV?
Normally, you're trying to push the capacity of the
cable. Okay.
So because it faulted on 25 kV,
right.
Then you need to kind of reach that point to bring the fault back.
That's right.
Yeah.
And so what we're really talking about, though, is maybe like a hole in the insulation, right?
Yeah.
We're not saying
burn through.
Yeah, exactly. So my understanding is you're going to hook the thumper up and it's going to pulse that 25 kV, whatever you're setting it at. And you're going to hear and feel and see really where that fault is, right? You can hear that cable, that fault.
Yep.
And then, like you said earlier, you're going to walk towards it and you will feel the earth faulting under your feet and you will see like the grass and the Absolutely. Sand jumping. But that's my understanding. Paul, please, you've actually used it. I have not actually used it.
And that's pretty much the gist of it. I mean, I have not used one in a very long time, right. I can tell you. But yeah, basically, you've got a piece of equipment that you're generating voltage
mm-hmm.
and you hook it up to the faulted cable. And what the fault is, who knows? You know,
right.
Just a weak spot, whatever,
mm-hmm.
especially on underground, in the ground, you know, nothing run over it or
right.
nobody shot it or, you know, so, but basically you're introducing voltage to that underground cable that is faulted. And so say you've got two PEP mount transformers that's half a mile apart.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, you can't dig up a half a mile.
Not in a fun way.
No, not in a fun way. Right. Yeah. And so in one man, you don't want to be doing that
yeah.
because normally this is late at night, right? Uh-huh. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. People are out of power,
yep.
blah, blah, blah. So you introduce that voltage to that faulted cable. And that voltage finds that fault.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you first start, you may not can even hear it.
Right.
But you start walking the way that cable is running. And eventually you'll just start hearing doom, doom, doom. And the yeah. closer you get, the louder it gets. And then you just kind of, from experience, you can kind of figure out, okay, where is the loudest thud?
Right.
And where is the sand coming up off the ground the most?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you kind of locate that. You mark it. Go shut everything off or tell the other people to shut it off. And then basically that's when you start
digging.
Grab the shovels and go to digging. You dig it up and sure enough, there it is, and yeah. you repair it and you go on.
And so my understanding, once you usually see like where the insulation was smoked or melted or a hole blew out of it, I mean, once you dig down to it, you pretty much know exactly where.
Well, pretty much because all that vault, because usually a mm-hmm. vault will take it out quick, right? It may just be pinhole.
That's right.
But by the time you have introduced that voltage
and
you've
been
thumping it
right.
yeah, for 20 minutes trying to find it,
yep.
trust me, it is burnt out tremendously.
Yep.
So normally when you get to that point, you'll start digging up some black soil
right.
from where it's been smoked.
Yeah, and you know you're on the right
yeah,
path.
And say, okay, yeah, we're close. We're That's close. Right. And so,
and, hey, guys, let me jump in here real quick. As y'all know, we're partnering with Zach and Melinda with Lime Brothers. Keeper.org, and just want to encourage y'all again to go to their page, donate to their website, and at the top of their website, you're going to see a link. It says Working with Lightning Raffle, and every $25 that you donate will put you one entry into the drawing for the grand prize. Paul, what are the grand prizes here?
Well, for the grand prize on that August the 25th drawing, which will also be Zach's burniversary.
That's right.
And
thank
so
you.
For that August the 25th, the grand prize is going to be handmade wood climbing hooks made by Zach, has the Working with Lightning emblem on those as well. The runner-up will receive a Working with Lightning package. It's a 20-quart cooler filled with all kind of Working with Lightning items, tumblers, koozies, coasters, stuff like that. And then third place will be a standard care package from Working with Lightning. You'll have a tumbler, koozie, a coaster, and a few stickers to go along with that.
Yeah, we might throw them in a little extra.
Yeah, right? May throw in a few yeah. little extra things.
Little surprise.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I just want to encourage y'all again to participate. It goes to a good cause. They are a 501c3 nonprofit organization. They're helping out our brothers and sisters in the industry at their probably most critical time of need. It's definitely a great thing to be supporting, and we're glad we can partner with them.
Absolutely.
They're really good people, and they're doing a lot to try to help us as well.
Yes.
So, yep, just wanted to cut in real quick, encourage y'all to make those donations, and you never know who you're going to be helping. It could be your coworker. All right, let's get back to the show. What would you say average depth? I know every utility has different standards, but are we talking
48 inches on primary?
I was going to say 36, 48.
I think 48 so, yeah. on primary.
So we're talking, what, 4 feet?
Yeah, four yep. foot.
Okay, good. All right, I think it's my turn, right?
I believe it is.
All right, I have, let's see, this is from James in Montana via email. What is the craziest story from work, like Chris with his meth and giraffes in season 2, episode 10? James, I think I've already told all my crazy stories. I recommend you go back and listen to our episode with Jay, which I referenced earlier. We went into a lot of stupid stuff that we've been appalled over or seen. I have one other story I was actually talking to a guy a couple weeks ago about, and he goes, man, you should have shared that one on the podcast. And I agree, I will share it one day, but I don't think it's adequate for today.
Mm-hmm.
But it involved a Chili's.
Oh.
Yeah. So I'm not going to share that one today, but I think I've already shared, I don't know, 5 to 10 on this show. So, Paul, I'll just let you go, man, instead of me repeating all those again.
And what was the question?
The question is, what is the craziest story from work?
Craziest story from work.
Yeah, and he references meth and giraffes, which that's episode, season 2, episode 10. And I'll just, yeah, see, meth and giraffes, it made you look, right? So you had to go listen to that one, but that was with Chris. And meth head, you know the giraffes that the veg departments use? It's basically got like the huge, it's a straight boom of like a huge skill saw blade on the end.
Yes, but, yes.
Yeah. So those are called giraffes by brand name. It's like saying channel locks, right?
Okay.
Giraffe is just a brand. I'm sure Kubota and John Deere made their own, right?
Yes.
Well, meth head stole one of those and started cutting down all their wood poles.
Really?
Yeah, it's a crazy episode. Go back and listen to that, man.
Yeah,
but yeah, so that's why we labeled it meth and giraffes.
Mm.
But I don't have any stories with meth heads and stealing equipment that I'm aware of. But what would you say is your craziest story, Paul?
I mean, it's really kind of hard to say.
Just so many of them?
Well, I mean, my crazy, I'll just answer it this way.
Yeah.
I think what the craziest is I've been to substations before. And someone has had the bright idea of going in and, you know, stealing copper.
Oh, yeah.
And stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And so with that, and Joey may allude to some of this next week with the grounding and, you know, and stuff like that. But, you know, people going in not respecting it or not having any idea of the dangers that is actually inside of a substation.
Mm-hmm.
But yet you've seen it. I've seen it. We've worked together in some of it.
Yeah.
People come through. They'll literally cut the chain link fence, crawl through it, and go in there and just go to sawzalling or bolt cutting jumpers, you know, ground jumpers from structures to the ground. And so I'm just going to go that route with the craziest because to me, that is crazy.
Yeah.
Because people are risking their life.
For $4 a pound.
Brother. For maybe.
You know.
And, you know. And like I said, sometimes they're not even getting true copper
it's
anyway.
It's all copper clad.
Yeah, it's copper clad, so it's useless, you know.
Yep.
So people that have no idea what they're doing, doing what they're doing.
Yeah.
That's basically the craziest stuff that I've ever come in contact. Because, I mean, some people would look at me or you in a bucket or in a man lift working on 230 kV and say, you're crazy.
Yeah, those guys are nuts.
Yeah, you're crazy.
Yeah.
Like, well, we may be a little bit, but, you know, trust me, this is the work. You know, this is what we do.
Right.
But me getting up and working on 230 is not near as crazy as somebody that don't even know what they're doing coming in and cutting copper off of a structure to go make a buck or two.
What about the ones that are even climbing up on a transform in service? Cutting, because we've seen this, where they're cutting the ground off of like the XO.
Yeah, on a power transformer.
Yes, on a three-phase power transformer. They're climbing up on them and cutting the ground off of the XO bushes.
That's what I call crazy.
They are crazy.
You know, there's some funny stuff.
Those are usually the ones that we find there the next day, too.
You don't have to wonder who did it.
That's
because
exactly
they're still waiting there for you.
That's exactly
but
right.
But to me, that's the crazy stuff. That's anytime I see a chain link cut or, you know, somebody has went in there without authorization, without knowledge, that's crazy.
So the one thing I'll add to that as a crazy story, again, I don't know that this fits the bill, James, because I wasn't there, but I do know this happened. And again, I may miss one or two details, so I'm going to speak in generalities. But Paul, you know, like the mobile substation cables that we used to use?
I know them well.
They're basically 1 million underground conductor. I mean, I'm trying to throw a visual for anybody that hasn't seen what we're talking about, but they're heavy.
Yes.
I mean, are we talking 5-7 pounds a foot?
Maybe. A lot of what we use were 1,000 MCMs.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I mean, it's heavy.
Very.
When you got a spool of 100 feet of that, it takes a crane. You know, you ain't just moving it by hand hardly. So there was a substation that had a mobile in service and they did double, you know, per phase, double cables per phase. And that substation was in, I guess you could say, a high risk, high crime area. And so that station had cameras installed.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the supervisor got a notice that there were people in the substation. So they send him, because this all goes to like a security company.
Yes.
Like that company could be in California. I think it was in Texas. services. But then they email clips of the video footage of like, hey, are these your guys? Or, you know,
yeah.
And he gets to watching the footage and there's two guys, I think it was two, again, excuse if I'm wrong on one or two minor details here, reeling up those mobile cables.
Mm.
So he immediately calls like two journeymen and says, get out there. He calls the cops, sends the cops that direction. 20 minutes later, those guys had stole every mobile cable out there.
Seriously.
And I was talking to the supervisor about it. He goes, God, I wanted to see if we could catch him. I'd hire him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, they moved, you know, probably 6 tons of conductor in 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Reeled it up. There was video of them. If I remember right, they had like 2 2x6s going to their tailgate. They wrapped them on a spool and reeled that sucker up into the bed of the truck and drove off.
Really?
You know how heavy? Oh, that thing would have rolled down and crushed me. You know what I mean?
I mean, I've had the experience, and back when we were rolling out mobile cables, we didn't have no crane. We didn't have no spool. And there's a few people that may be listening to this right now. They will relate. But we had like a 16-foot flatbed trailer you pulled behind a pickup, and you'd have your 3, 6, 9 cables rolled up in the back, you know, 200 feet apiece. And, yeah, you jumped in that trailer. You pulled them out by hand. They're coiled up,
heavy,
tied together with mule tape,
right?
And then you untie and start rolling it out. Mm-hmm. Yes, it was definitely not a one-man show.
No, but yeah, if I recall, man, two dudes stole every foot of mobile cable in like 20 minutes time.
Well,
it was like 20 minutes before they, and we don't know how long it took them.
Mm-hmm.
When they arrived 20 minutes later, they were gone.
They were gone. So that's what I would refer to as two grown men.
Yeah, you ain't lying. Yes.
Two grown
you
men.
You ain't lying.
Yes.
So anyhow, that's what I got on that, James. Appreciate the question. All right, Paul, it's on you.
All right. So from Chris in an email, do you know if OSHA has officially changed the regulations on properly fitting PPE? You brought this up originally in episode 12.
I do not know. I know they were talking about it, and I think when we looked into it, so this would be a question for like Joey or Mike Barr.
Yep.
I know both of those guys are really involved on the OSHA. When we brought it up in that episode, if I remember right, OSHA proposes all these mandates and rule changes, but they meet like every 6 months, so let's say twice a year,
yep,
to vote on and implement said policies, right? Or rules, yep, right? So I do not know, based on the timing of when we read that article, if that was still just a proposal or if it had already been approved at that time. And I do not know if since then OSHA has met to accept said rule. So no, I do not know if it is currently right now an active rule. We just read that they were writing it and some of the verbiage that was going to be in the new OSHA rule.
You're looking into it.
That's right. I have no idea if it's in effect as of today, April 14th. Okay. Right? I have no idea.
Yeah. So Chris, sorry about that. We're just being honest. We don't know. So that may be something to Google later on.
Yeah. And maybe OSHA meets once a quarter. So maybe they meet four times a year to vote on policy and procedure changes. I don't know. But all right, you ready?
Yes.
I got, this is an email. I'm looking. I don't think I have a name associated with it, and I don't want to say their email address.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
I would like to be on your well, hello. Yes, there you would. You know. I would like to be on your podcast, but I don't really know what I can bring to talk about. Are there certain things you look for, like experience or exciting stories, to have someone on? No, we're pretty much wide open. I can tell y'all this, and I think I've said it way back in the past. I welcome anybody, and we do get this a lot, Paul, and you're going to see now that you're going to be involved in the show. A lot of people say they want to be part of it, but they don't think they bring anything to the table.
Mm-hmm.
I find that a farce.
Yes.
I don't care if you've been doing this 6 months. You have experiences that I don't have and that Paul doesn't have.
Yes. You have questions that need to be answered.
Right.
You know?
And so, no, anybody can come on the show. The only people I have turned down was one person, and this person wanted to come on the show. And see, I don't even remember. I've erased it from my memory.
Yeah.
He was either pro-union and wanted to come on and bash everybody that was non-union, mm-hmm, or he was non-union and wanted to come on and bash everybody that was union. And I said, no, you're not going to come on the show.
That's not what this is about.
Right. You're not going to come on the show and drive a wedge in this industry.
Yes.
Now, we can debate union versus non-union, and we've even entertained a show with a union guy and a non-union guy and have a adult conversation, exactly. Not a screaming match.
Yes.
But no, the point of the show isn't to drive a wedge between me or you, or between a guy in Vermont and a guy in Alaska, yes. Right? That's not the point of the show. That's the only person I've ever told him no. And I even told him, I still would love to have you on the show, but that ain't what we're going to discuss.
Exactly.
So it wasn't even like, screw you, you ain't coming on this. I still don't mind if the guy wants to come on.
Yes.
But that's just not what we're going to do.
Just not with that.
Yeah. Think of something else we can talk about. And by the way, and so something else that we've said from time to time is you don't have to come on the show with something to talk about. Maybe you want to dial in as a co-host with the three of us. So it'd be, Paul, myself, and whoever you are.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can just round table some of these questions or get some feedback or whatever. So you don't have to feel like you have to come on and get interviewed and grilled like you're on 60 Minutes, right?
Lay out 20 years of experience.
Exactly. Yeah. Now, a lot of people do. They want to tell us about what they've seen, what they've done, what they've been through, how they came up, and that's great.
Yeah.
But no, there's really no pre-qualifications, man. We're pretty open to anybody.
Well, and I would say if you're listening to this podcast, you have some input to this podcast.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, because why are you listening to it, And even if it's just questions, everybody has some input.
That's right. All right, Paul, I got one more, so you probably need to do two or three in a row here.
Yeah, let me do two here. So, and I'm going to defer to you, I think, with this one.
But okay.
How hard is cryptocurrency going to be on the grid with its growing popularity? And that's from an email with Drew.
All right, Drew.
Cryptocurrency.
So, funny enough, if y'all remember back... Gosh dang, I should have this all pre-done. And by the way, just so y'all know, this hopefully proves me and Paul don't pre-read these. We don't pre-screen them and come up with answers.
No.
What we do with these type of questions is actually my wife prints them off and hands them to us right before we start recording.
Exactly.
So we're reading and hearing these questions the first time as y'all are on the air here. But back when Jared, and again, if I had this ahead of time, I could have told you. I want to say season 1, episode 16. Man, if I'm right. That's incredible.
It'd be amazing.
It's either episode 16 or 17. We had Jared come on the show. And we talked about in his area where he works is a big crypto area. Like a lot of these mining centers, facilities, I don't know what you call them, right?
Mm-hmm.
But where they're mining crypto. If I remember right, one facility, one crypto mining facility, servers, again, I'm not fully up to speed on this stuff, right? Uses 20 megawatts. 20 megawatts for one data mining, crypto mining facility. I'll give you all a comparison. In the United States, the average super Walmart is one.
1 megawatt.
1 meg.
And these are pulling 20.
So imagine if your town, and again, if you live in New York City, you're in a different world than me. But to the average listener, imagine if your town said, hey, we just approved 20 Walmarts to be built on one road,
mm-hmm.
not 30, 40 miles apart from different substations, but on one road.
Mm-hmm.
We just approved 20 Walmarts. Your local utility would probably flip a lid.
I'm sure.
On how they're going to be able to source that. You know what I mean? But yeah, this one facility is drawing 20 megs. And my understanding is that's not like the world's largest facility either. That's an average crypto mining facility was pulling 20 megs. And as best I can tell, the average Walmart in the U.S., the super Walmarts, is pulling one. Wow. So that's 20 Walmarts being built overnight.
Doggone.
That's a lot of load, man.
That's a lot of load.
That's a lot of load. And so what was the rest of the question? Did I answer it or no?
So how hard is it going to be on the grid?
Hard.
How hard?
Hard.
Yeah, very hard.
Hard. Hard as a rock. I mean, I like to think that before a mining crypto facility, server, whatever they're called, hopefully they're having to meet and get approved by the local county government.
Yes.
And or city, state, whatever level that is, right? And I'm assuming also at that same time, they're already having conversations with the local utility, the electric provider. And so hopefully this is happening a year or two in advance so that the utility and the county or city is able to build up infrastructure and plan for that. I can't imagine that this crypto company just comes in, builds a business no one knows about and says, hey, hook me up and I need 20 megs.
Well, and that's where we're going with kind of relating to my position now mm-hmm. with the development that, right. Yeah, I'm working on stuff a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
I was working on six different projects
mm-hmm.
that's projected to be finalized in 2029.
Yeah,
2029.
So 5 years.
So I'm 5 years out. Yeah. But there's a lot of load expected coming in there. We've got a lot of changes coming in. And so they're already kind of feeling that and looking it out. And so, but I would say with something that significant, I mean, we're not talking about, you know, a Wawa or a 7-Eleven, you know, growing up at the corner. We're talking about something major. I can almost guarantee you that this is in a 3-5 year development process. This is
some long-term outlook planning.
Yes, I agree. It's going to hit the grid hard for what we have today.
Yeah.
However, if we develop this properly and do everything right, it's not going to hit the grid as hard in 5 years from now as it would today.
Right.
Because we're going to go ahead and develop it, whether we got to build a new station, whether we got to increase the conductor size on the line.
Double circuit it,
whatever we've got to do. And so that's where your development, I'm going to give a little plug there on the development, but that's where that is so important that, you may be looking out 3-4 years from now, but you know what? If everything goes right, 3-4 years from now, we'll be here.
We'll be ready.
And so when it gets here, you know, you're going to impact us, but we're going to be ready for you.
That's right.
And so that's just good business.
But yeah, if that's the numbers I recall, the average crypto place was pulling like 20 megawatts.
That's massive.
And to compare that, the super Walmart is pulling one.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, that would cripple most small municipalities, right? You can't support 20 Walmarts, especially at one location off of one feeder. Well, I'm sure that's going to be fed off of probably four feeders, but still out of one substation. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. So that's the best I have for that.
That's me too.
Yep.
So going on to the next one from Kyle on Messenger. What is the biggest change you have seen in the industry since you have started?
Oh, that's a toughie.
Well, mine kind of comes to mind quick.
Does yours? Mm-hmm. Do you want to go or you want me to go?
Yeah, I'll take this.
You take the reins,
brother. I'll take the driver's seat.
There you go.
To me, and when I saw this question, what is the biggest change you have seen in the industry since you have started? I started in 1990. The biggest change for me is safety.
Right.
Huge change, because I can remember growing up, it was get your stuff.
Cowboy.
Get it done and move on to the next one.
No shirt.
Yeah, whatever.
No shirt, no FR.
Yeah, whatever.
You know? Yeah. Yeah, you're a cowboy.
So, you know, we had the work done. Now, me particularly, and I will say this, me particularly, I tried to always still work safe. I used to make people mad.
Yeah.
Because I kind of like to think that I was working 20-something years ago like people are working today, but some people wasn't working that way 20-something years ago or whatever. So 30 years ago. But yeah, definitely the whole safety aspect of, you know, where it seems like before there was more emphasis on the equipment, and don't misunderstand what I'm fixing to say, and the consumer.
Yeah.
We're still concerned about the consumer.
Absolutely.
Okay. So don't no one misunderstand what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
But it was almost like, hey, we've got these customers out here. We got to get this line built to them. We got to get this done. But now it has rolled more to the actual personnel. They're like, yes, hey, we've got this 2 miles of line that's got to be built.
Right.
But you know what? We're going to do it safe. We're going to do it right. And when we get done, then we're done.
That's right.
You know, so, and I appreciate that. And honestly, everyone should, because accidents cost money and it costs time.
Yep.
So, you know, you can go in there and do that job right with all the safety aspects and the pre-job briefs and all the right equipment, and still do it in less time than cowboying it and having a problem, because you just stretch that time with all the investigations, with maybe a fatality, with all, you have just stretched that, 2 month job out to 10 months now.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so to me, that the question is the biggest. What is the biggest change? And to me, it's definitely been the safety aspect, and I'm all for it. I mean, I'm thankful.
So, I mean, I'm with you. I feel like that's a scapegoat, easy answer, right?
Yeah.
But I'm not picking on you, because, and again, I'm sure we're going to talk about this next week with grounding.
Yes.
With Joey. And here's why, which is good and bad, right? But I know in my time, I have seen WIG fall under 30 different grounding policies.
Yes.
Which means that the utility and the industry as a whole, right? Not any one particular company, is trying to do studies and make advancements and figure out what is the best way to keep us safe.
Mm-hmm.
But then it seems like we circle right back 10 years later. To what we were doing.
To what we're doing, yeah.
So then I try to debate in my head, are we making gains or are we not? Yeah. Right. And that's where you have to go, well, at least the attempt is considered a gain, right? It has to be. But yeah, I actually want to talk to Joey about that next week because, you know, we were bracket grounding, we were single point grounding, we were equipotential grounding, back to single point, back to bracket.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, wait, this is where we were 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm. And with some of that,
you know what I mean?
You know, and with some of that, it's probably sometimes what you're doing, there's a thought that, hey, this may be better.
Right.
But when they try it and they go there, mm-hmm. then they find out, well, you know what? It's really not better.
Yeah.
So I say kudos to them for reverting back.
I agree.
Because if this isn't better. Instead of better,
just sticking to something.
Exactly. Like, no, we done spent time and energy.
Right.
We'll look dumb if we kick this out. No. To me, you look smarter by saying, you know what, guys, we tried it. It's not working. Mm-hmm. It's not as good. Let's go back. And so if that be the case,
and I agree with you. And that's reverting. Why I'm not trying to be the consummate pessimist.
No, I know what you're saying.
And that's where I think at least attempting something is good. And like you say, then having the gall to revert back is even bigger.
Yes.
Because that's hard to find in some management structures.
Exactly.
Because it's almost an admittment of being wrong.
Yes.
But again, at least an attempt was made, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we're all only as good as the information we have at this moment.
Exactly.
And so at that moment, if that's what the studies and the data shows is the right direction to go, then they're making the best decision possible at that time.
Yes.
But yeah, I mean, I'm with you. And obviously even little things. Like when I started, FR was only when within MAD, only in the, you know, quote unquote, energized position, right? And then I don't remember at what point it just became you don't touch the front gate until you got FR.
Yeah, put it on.
That's right. But there's obviously been a lot of insulated tools.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't used to use any insulated tools. I mean, on primary, but not on secondary. You know, if you're working on 12240, whatever. you know what I mean?
A lot of times we take our screwdrivers or crescent wrenchers. Well, what we'd do is take those little shrink tubes.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Heat shrinks.
Or the cold shrink.
Yeah, the cold shrink. Yeah.
Yep.
I did many a tool with the heat shrink.
Right.
You know, put it on the end of that, take the blowtorch and melt her down, and that was my insulation.
Absolutely. Yep. Absolutely. But now they require us to buy, you know, the true insulated 1,000. You know how they have like the double triangle?
Yeah.
Well, stamp,
yeah.
1,000 volt. But yeah, insulated tools now, at least for most of the companies we work for, are mandatory.
Yeah. Which.
Oh, no, it's a good thing.
Goes back to safety.
It's a good thing because I've used an Allen wrench or two in a real tight panel. And
crossed up. Yeah.
Yeah. I've had a little fireworks show once or twice. And an insulated tool would not have allowed that to happen.
Yeah. Which it goes back to safety, which you know, just kind of covers everything.
Absolutely.
But
yeah. All right. How many you got left, man?
I got one more, but you got one.
I got one. You want me to
you
hit
do
it
yours
and I'll be out?
Yeah, I want to do this one last.
Okay. So here I go. Here's my last one. This is from John in Vermont, and this is via Messenger on Instagram.
Okay.
So John in Vermont, Messenger on Instagram. He says, I am just getting into this industry. I hear people say it takes a range of years to get done with your apprenticeship. Is there a way to be sure I get done with mine on the faster end so that I can become a journeyman quicker? Yes and no, John. Again, that's going to be based on your company and your union hall. I don't know, obviously, if you're out of a union hall or if you're working for a muni or co-op or investor-owned, whatever your situation may be. But yes and no, I mean, some of them I have seen. I did not come up under this system, but I have heard and talked to others on this show that tell me that when you hire in, basically, if you hit all your benchmarks and you're done in 3.5 years, you're not eligible to be a journeyman until your 5th year anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
Congratulations on you for taking the effort, right, and getting it knocked out, but you're not getting journeyman until your 5-year anniversary. I'm torn on that. I know pros and cons with that because you can't buy wisdom, mm-hmm. right? And wisdom only comes with being out there every day. And if your utility has decided that 5 years is when they're comfortable, who am I to say that's right or wrong?
Yeah.
But I also would warn, and Paul, I'm sure you've seen it, and not that we both didn't come up, and we all want to advance, right?
Yeah.
Next day. But I've also seen, and I could think of a couple major injuries where looking back, those apprentices were pushing themselves to a position they should not have been in.
Yes.
I shared a story a few weeks ago of a guy that got burned, and he was trying to top out his apprenticeship and was probably putting himself in scenarios he wanted to prove himself, but he was not prepared for.
Yeah.
Now, there's a multitude of people that could have stopped that. I'm not putting all that blame on him, right? That's why we have journeymen and supervisors and managers. That's their job, as well as his, though. We all have to be self-accountable. So to answer your question, though, I want to make sure, I hear people say it takes a range of years. Is there a way to be sure I get done with mine on the faster end? You want to get done on the faster end? Don't ever turn down a call out. Expose yourself to every situation. And the reason why I say call outs, and I don't even know if you're in relay, sub, or line. Okay. But the reason why I say call outs, that's where I learned a lot.
Yes.
I learned a lot when I was able to start taking call outs. And even as an apprentice, they would let us take call outs on our own based on the call, right? Like, trust me, you weren't going out there and saving the entire world. 10 stations are in the dark.
Mm-hmm.
But if it was a breaker major and they think, oh, this may have happened or that may, oh, yeah, call that idiot. Let Jeremy go out there and fiddle fart around with it, you know? But that's where you learn things, because normal blue sky day is just standard operating procedure. Right? You're going out, you're doing your maintenance or whatever it is that you're doing, or your construction work. Call outs, that's where I learned a lot. That's where the weird situations are. That's where the guy hit a pole and it caused this weird fault and this breaker didn't operate. It went into breaker failure. That's where the squirrel and the raccoon, you're like, how did this outage happen? And that's when you learn, hey, quit looking up at all the bus work. If I shine my flashlight on the ground, there's a dang raccoon. Now I have a clue. Now that fault that I saw recorded on the relay makes sense. You know what I mean? I was looking for a broken insulator or something on A phase. Can't find nothing. You know, a raccoon with smoke coming out of his eyeballs. Okay.
There you go.
That's right. So that would be my first one. Is call outs is where I know I learned a lot. You know, again, most days are just everyday mundane tasks, right? Volunteer. I would say that. Volunteer. I came up under a guy that said, never volunteer for anything. That's how you get fired.
Yeah.
There's some validity to that. It's no good deed goes unpunished, as they say. But also volunteering for special projects, volunteering for some work that other people don't want to do. That's also how I got to see and do a lot of stuff, by volunteering. Yeah. And again, sometimes though, it sucks. If they need volunteers, that means nobody else wants it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So,
but as far as actually progressing your time to say, well, I don't want it to take me 5 years to get to a journeyman, but, you know, and just speaking from the other side of the coin on this, companies have to be careful that, okay, we've got a 5 year, we got a 7 year plan and this is our layout. This is it. And you've got to do all these steps, all this stuff in this allotted amount of time. And so companies have to watch their liability from the employee, from the employee's family, from everyone involved, right? Because say if you were, let me use the word rushed, if you were rushed through your progression and something happened, God forbid, something happened, and they come back to it and say, well, what year is this guy in?
Right.
Well, he's in his third year. Well, why was he in this position? He, according to your schedule or your layout, this guy should have never been in that situation at this step or at this period of time.
Right.
So there is some liability there.
There is.
You know,
lawyers will eat that apart.
They would.
they would eat that apart.
The thing is why are you there? You know, why was this person there? And then they're going to have to answer, well, you know, he wanted to top out quicker. Well, you know, and I'm not saying that to be discouraging.
No.
I'm just saying that.
Facts, man.
I'm just saying that, you know, first of all, if you hire in, you should know how long it's going to take you to get topped out, right? So you should already know, okay, well, listen, we've got this 7-step apprenticeship, or we have this 5-step or 5-year, whatever the case may be. You're going into it knowing that, hey, this is it. And what I got to do is I'm just going to do my best and learn as much as I can, take those call outs, do that volunteering, whatever I can to absorb and to learn as much as I can. But pretty much, I think you're going to have to go through the steps in order to get there.
Right. Yep. I agree. I'll even speak for myself. I'm not justifying it one way or the other. And again, this is all Union Hall and company specific, right? Here's what happened to me, Paul. I felt like I pushed my apprenticeship pretty hard. I hated my task book. Yeah. I looked forward to the day I could go to the lake and punt that thing as deep as I could throw it. I was done with that task book. But you know what ended up happening? I pushed myself through it. I got qualified, and I think I had to stay an apprentice for probably another year and a half. I ended up having to go travel, give up my job, give up my maintenance shop, and go travel to eventually make a journeyman.
Yeah.
I had to wait for a spot to open up. Now, the company I used to work for, I believe they're all automatic progression.
Yeah.
So again, even my answer would be different today than it was then.
Yes.
I did all that pushing and stressing and worrying and all that crap. And then I sat as an apprentice for a year and a half mm-hmm. after I was qualified before I made journeyman.
Yes. And that, I mean, and that's the downside to that as well.
Yep. Where I could have taken my time and not have, you know, stressed over it as much, you know, and pushed as hard. And probably because that was the first journeyman job to open once I was qualified. Mm-hmm. So I would have probably still got that same exact position and that same pay raise on the same day. But
so
now there's automatic progression at that company.
Mm-hmm.
So now the answer is completely different, right? So yes. it's hard to answer because it's such situational specific. But that was my situation. I sat an apprentice for over a year.
And speaking from the other side of the coin too, uh-huh. but if you had taken your time, you wouldn't have been as stressed. You know, maybe that's
right.
why it is designed to, number one, they don't want to stress you out to where you get halfway through it and say, you know what, I can't do it. I'm leaving. You right. know, I'm gone.
Yeah.
Because it's too overwhelming or mm-hmm. there's too much, you know, a lot of things they're asking way too much out of me, you know?
Mm, a lot of quitters out there.
Yes.
And this industry ain't for quitters.
So if they give you the time, I mean, I would say take your time.
Yep.
You know, because once you hit journeyman,
mm-hmm.
you're going to be busy enough.
That's right.
You know, you're going to be busy enough That's from right. then on out.
Yeah. I hear what you're saying, but you ain't paying my bills though.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
Exactly. Yeah.
I forget what a jump was from topped out apprentice to bottom step journeyman, but it was a good $10, $12 an hour if I recall, man.
It's a fine pickup truck.
You ain't difference. Feeding my daughter.
Yes.
Exactly. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and like I said, I've been there, okay?
Yeah,
I've been
yeah,
there,
know,
but I'm just talking from that other side of the coin that,
yep.
you know, every quarter's got a head and a tail, right?
That's right.
That's right.
Yep. All right. Do you have one more?
The last one.
Last one.
And I think it's a perfect last one.
Okay.
Help us just wrap up and go right into our...
I got some shout... I do have two pages
okay.
of shout-outs.
Okay.
We'll knock them out quick.
All right. So this is from Tony in an email, and he says, I really like what you guys are doing. You talk about having subscribers. Where can I go to subscribe?
All right. That's easy enough, Tony. I believe almost anywhere that you see our brand, there will be a way to subscribe. And on this description, I got to be honest with you, I should probably know this, right? But I think there's like 3 or 4 levels of subscribers, okay? So I think the basic level is $3. But if I remember right, Paul, there's like a $3, a $5, an $8, and a $10.
Okay. 4 levels.
Yep. So yeah, so 4. And I could, maybe it's 3, 5, 10. Right.
Okay.
But I think it starts at $3. The way you can do that is, let's see, like even on our Facebook page, there'll be a link to our website. You go to that and then there'll be a way to it'll say like sponsor the show or subscribe to the show. And that's where you can then make that donation. I don't obviously donate to myself, so I've never gone through that process. I'm assuming you just link it to a Venmo or a PayPal account, or maybe just type in your debit card like you're ordering something from Amazon. Yep. So right now we still have the same 3 subscribers. They're $10 a month. We got Austin, Rick, and John. And shout out to those guys. Appreciate yes. the support. But that's how you subscribe. Actually, again, it depends on what app, right? If you're using Spotify or Apple, however you're listening to this show right now. In the description below, if you expand that, usually you have to click like show more, you know, and it brings mm-hmm. down. You will see all of our links. You will see links to our email, so you can email us another question. You'll see links to when we have a guest, like last week with Joey Bannerman. We'll have his website, you know, linked there so you can go directly to his stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But somewhere in there, you will see like support the show. Some of them have a little link that says buy me a coffee. That's the same basic concept. You can click that and I think it buys you like $5 or something like that. But yeah, you can go to our website. You can go to our homepage. There's surely a way you can click on enough stuff. I mean, if I click on enough stuff, I end up buying some garbage from Amazon and I was just YouTubing a video. So there's surely a way you'll click on 2 or 3 different links and you can find a way to it. Again, hard to answer because I don't know what platform you're listening on at this exact moment and how each of those platforms are linked back to us, right?
Yes.
But there you go. All right.
And I'd just like to encourage, you know, for you out there that just like Tony, you want to know how to subscribe. And some of you may not even known you could subscribe, but yes, you can. And I would just say that we really, really appreciate.
Oh, absolutely.
Subscribe.
Absolutely. So, Paul, you've been here, what, 3-4 weeks now?
Yeah, about a month.
Yeah, so you've seen all the background stuff that we got going on, how absolutely. We had to buy the merch, we have to order everything we go into uploading and editing all the episodes. Absolutely. Like, it's a lot of work.
There's a lot to it.
So, yeah, appreciate any support anybody out there wants to give us. Speaking of support, y'all don't forget to support linebrotherskeeper.org. Every $25 you donate, make sure you either use the Working with Lightning link or type in the comments Working with Lightning, WWL, however you want to indicate that. Every $25 you donate puts you in the drawing for the 3 grand prizes. I'm not going to run through those right now. We do it on pretty much every episode. And let's hit some shout outs real quick, Paul. All right, here we go. We have the Spotify comment after the Storm episode. A lady chimed in and said, Krista is my big sister. She loves listening to you guys.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you there. And yes, Krista has been a great supporter of the show. She's been on. She came in studio, recorded with us.
Oh, really?
Yeah, all the way from Buffalo, New York, flew down here and recorded the show with us.
That's amazing.
And I think she's going to be coming back. She's coming back. So we appreciate you listening and your sister. Kyle was sharing our latest episodes on his Instagram stories, and he also purchased one of the limited edition Line Brothers Keeper Cup, which we're donating all the proceeds back to Zach for that as well.
Yeah.
And this is actually Kyle's second order with us, and he says he wants to come on a future show. So Kyle, look forward to having you on the show. And again, thanks for the support. Dustin was sharing his hard hat stickers. He has a picture of his hard hat with our sticker on it. And he was working at the time in New York. And Dustin's quote was, he was putting fire back in the wire.
Fire back in the wire. I saw that one.
So thanks, Dustin. John sent us a picture of his Working with Lightning tumbler, his cup out in the field. Appreciate it, John. Matt sent a couple of guest referrals and will hopefully join us one day. Yep. I remember Matt on Messenger. He's got a lot. I think he can contribute to the show and other contacts that he has. So we definitely appreciate that one. Speaking of Krista, we were just talking about her sister. Krista sent us a picture of her listening to the podcast. So she's got a picture. And if I remember right, can you see the temperature in that picture? If I remember right, it was like 6 degrees. I know. Yeah, it's a small photo. Sorry. Can you see it or no?
It looks like a single digit.
Yeah, I think it was like 6 degrees when she sent that. But she had the podcast pulled up on her infotainment center in her car.
That was the place to be in the vehicle.
You dang right, with heater on. Rick. Yeah, Rick sent us this too. So Rick has a smartwatch. I think this was posted also on our social medias. But Rick has a smartwatch. In fact, we were just talking about like the Apple Watch.
Yes.
Rick actually changed the background of his watch to our logo.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, that was pretty cool, man.
That's good.
So appreciate that, Rick. That was funny. I've never even thought of that.
Yeah.
It's my show.
Yeah.
But
learn something.
And then I think I have given a shout out before to Jack. Jack listens on Good Pods, and he continues to leave 5-star reviews. He continues to leave lots of comments. Even going back to New Year's, he said, Happy New Year, WWL family, Working with Lightning family. Looking forward to another year of great content.
There you go.
Thank you, Jack. And Jack also has emailed in some questions, which I think we already actually addressed, two of which I think were from today.
Okay.
But yep. So Jack said, I love it when you go over listener email comments and questions. I email y'all some a few weeks ago and look forward to hearing them on the show.
There
so again, thanks a lot, Jack. Appreciate it, man.
Y'all send them in. We'll try to cover them.
That's it. All right, Paul, you got any final words, my man?
No, I think I'm good. That was a good email listener segment. And, you know, like I said, hopefully we'll start getting enough that we can't do all of them in one show. We have to start breaking them up and taking them, you know, bits and pieces. So
that's right.
But yeah, that's good. Good interaction. And again, just want to encourage everyone to, you got a question, there's no dumb questions. Send them in. And as I said earlier, we'll answer them if we can. And if we can't, we'll try to find you an answer.
Yes, sir. And with that, again, next week, we got Joey Bannerman coming back with, what was it, BannermanTraining.com?
Yes.
And he's going to go over grounding. And I look forward to us recording that one here. And I know I've got some questions. So
yes, a lot.
Good stuff. All right. With that, we appreciate all y'all's time as always. Reach out to us and we will talk to y'all next week.
Be safe. Hey, guys, don't forget about the Tennessee Valley Rodeo that is coming up in Chattanooga, Tennessee. It'll be June the 7th and 8th. Jeremy, fill us in a little bit on that.
Yeah, so the Tennessee Valley Rodeo, Line Brothers Keeper is going to be there again. So Zach and Melinda are going to have a booth set up, and y'all be sure to go by. Again, talk to them, hang out with them. Definitely, if you can, donate, help their organization out. All you're doing is helping brothers and sisters in our industry out anyway. And they're also going to have a lot of our Working with Lightning swag. Again, they're going to have some coasters, some koozies, and a bunch of hard hat stickers.
And so, be sure to let them know that you heard about this on Working with Lightning.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's a great organization, great people, and I appreciate them helping spread the word for us.
Absolutely. It's a good team.
That's right. All right, let's do it.
Hey, everyone. Thank you for listening. And we welcome you to tune in next time. We really do appreciate you and would like to encourage you to support and sponsor our podcast. Be sure to check us out on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and email us at workingwithlightning@gmail.com. Y'all be safe.